Good morning, and welcome to the study of the Word of God with Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Daigh. I am standing in for Pastor Herman Maddox, who so glad to see you here this morning, sir. Looking forward to his return to the pulpit to teach us all the things we didn't know we were talking about. So, Phil and I are anxiously awaiting our discussions on the things that Pastor Maddox found that we didn't know what we were saying. But now, so glad that you all are back. Please be in prayer for Pastor Maddox and continued recovery in his health. We are looking forward to your return shortly, and what a blessing that is. Please be in prayer for Judith as well, as she has to put up with him when he's home all the time. So we love you all, and we're so glad you're here with us this morning. And we have lots of prayer requests, but let's start. We're going to start in prayer. Let's prepare our minds for action. We've been talking about that. We are studying 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. For y'all that have been hanging out with us for the last several weeks, I got through chapter 1 and 2 in 6 hours, and I got through chapter 3 in an hour. So we're making progress. We will at some point finish the book of 1 Peter, and looking forward to that. So we are going to move quickly this morning. But let's start by preparing our minds for action. Evaluating ourselves with regards to the filling of the Spirit and understanding if we are operating in His will or if we're operating in our own will. And we'll take a second to clarify that with our Lord and put ourselves in the position to understand the Word of God this morning. So if you bow your heads with me. Lord, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the freedom that we have that still allows us to come together and be a congregation and a family in Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that all the distractions, all the things that are in our minds, all of our own desires, our own will, we can set those things aside, Father, and just put our total faith and dependence upon Your Spirit to teach us and to help us to understand and to just put into our souls what You want us to know so we can walk out of here this morning a little bit more mature, a little bit more wise, and a little bit more prepared for what's to come. Thank You for all that You do for us. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for this church and this church family. We thank You for our pastor. And Father, we thank You for the blessing that is Christ. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to start with song. Can we start with song this morning? And then we'll do some prayer requests. And then we'll jump into 1 Peter. So, Brian, take it away.
Turn to him.
Thank you for that. And thank you for always being up here taking care of our music. It is it's a blessing. Prayer requests. So, Pastor Maddox sent out a note this week. Please be in prayer for our country. As I mentioned this morning, with Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing on Friday, just one more reason of contention amongst the citizens of this great country. And so, whether the red wins or the blue wins, the fact is, November is going to be a mess. And so, and we'll be going forward. So please be in constant prayer for our country, the freedom that we have in this country that's been fought for over the many, many years that our country has been around, which is only like that much in the relative scale of countries. The freedom that we have here gives us the opportunity to meet together and enjoy the gathering of the church to study the Word of God and the freedom that we have. And y'all, that's going to go away in a hurry if we don't have leaders that will turn back to God and stand firm in what we know to be the truth. We've mentioned this morning the modernism relativeness, right? Everything's relative. And the more that we believe that our laws and our interactions are relative, the less and less anybody will stand for the truth, the more and more the Word of God will be pushed out of our nation. Because the Word of God declares itself to be the truth. And when you don't want the truth, you don't want it around. So please be in prayer for our country. We have an amazing country. And to date, we still have the freedom to gather together, and we will do so. Be in prayer for our leaders, that they will stand firm in what they know to be true. So many are declare themselves to be Christians, and I believe that in my heart, that we have a huge congregation of leaders in our at the top of our country that are Christians. Pray for their strength to stand firm. We're going to be talking about this morning enduring suffering, because believe me, when they start standing firm in the truth, they will come under intense suffering and persecution. Please be in prayer for the church, our church, the church in general, that the truth will continue to be taught from the pulpit. There's a lot of churches that have not decided to come back together in whether it's discerning or fear. That is between them and the Lord. But we just ask that be in prayer for the churches across this country, that they will continue to teach the Word of God and the truth of the Word. Please be in prayer for Tish. I got an update from Pat this morning that pain is under control. It's still present, but it's under control. Y'all, she's got a rotator cuff issue that I think she's had for a long time, according to Jerry when I talked to him yesterday. As your muscles atrophy and get weaker, think about your shoulder. If there's no muscles holding your shoulder in place, all the pressure sits on your rotator cuff. And if your rotator cuff's messed up, ouch, all the time. So please be in prayer for her. She's got an MRI on Monday.
And she just sent me a picture. It is shingles.
And she just found out she's got shingles. I think she knew something was going on. She just declared it to be shingles. Yeah. So, man, we're going to be talking about enduring and suffering. So please be in prayer for Tish, because part of what we're called to do as the church is to pray for one another. Risleys, please continue to be in prayer for the Risley family, for their ministry, for Pat's health. Please be in prayer for Fassel and Carrie. Please be in prayer for all of our missionaries that are out in the field, even those that we don't necessarily know or support directly. They're out in the field, and they're in the midst of the battle. And please be in prayer for our youth. The world is attacking the youth because they can manipulate. They can change. It's hard to get somebody who's set in their ways, and I've been through enough to know that this is truth. It's a little easier to go after folks that have opportunities in their experience. They are under attack all the time. And the youth ministry is strong. We continue to teach the Word. And I strongly believe that every one of those young people up there on that board behind us are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just pray that they will continue to seek the truth in the Word and prepare their minds, because they will be under attack as well. So lots of good news this morning. How many more attacks can we be under, y'all? I think the good news for this morning is that the Lord Jesus Christ continues to reign and will forever. So regardless of the attacks, amen, we will continue to put our faith and trust in our Lord and His Spirit, and push this all onto Him and let Him handle it. How cool is that? Let's see. So there's any more other prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Trey and I will be traveling this week. Safe travels for us.
Okay. Safe travels for Trey and Christy.
I have one that is one of the ladies that always goes with us on our Mexico cruise or Mexico trips. Her daughter Saturday night was killed in a car wreck. And it was head on. And both of the drivers were killed. And she's like 29, and she has two daughters. So we're just kind of walking around in shock for a while that this has happened. But we never know. And at any moment it could be. We don't know what tomorrow might bring, but we know we trust Him and His wisdom.
Is there a name?
Her name is Ray Lynn.
Ray Lynn.
What I'm really praying for is now her mother is Debbie.
Okay. Peace.
Yeah.
Comfort.
Peace. They are, I mean, they're strong, strong believers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
But it's still, no matter what, it's devastating.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like for you to add Tom Simonson's name to the list. He's Carol's half-brother, and he's been under surgery for cancer now, so he's in the hospital.
So Tom Simonson?
Simonson.
Cancer, healing, and maybe some pain. What's that?
Pray for the family.
And the family? Okay. Other prayer requests this morning? Awesome. Yes, ma'am.
Just some good news that the Wises have returned from Mexico safely.
And are in like 6 months of quarantine?
I don't.
At least a week.
They didn't quarantine them at the airport in Mexico. So
there you go. Half the battle, right?
Results from the hurricane? Were they in any event?
No, they were on the West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, praise that the Wise family came back safely from Mexico, which is awesome.
And the girls are fine, and the house is still standing.
The house is still standing. Okay. That's. It's thankful for everything, right?
Never know.
Bill gave us an update last week with regards to our finances. I don't have any additional update, but please continue to pray about your support financially for this church. We have a lot of ministries that are going on and you take financial support. I think last week we put out that in the previous month we were about $2,700 short of our required intake in order to balance the month. We still have money in the savings account, but that we will blow through that quickly if we don't all figure out. I think what, you know, I love what John Hen says, the money is there, it just happens to be in our pockets. So let's pull our pockets open and give to the kitty. So Leslie, I'm sure by this time, has put up the link to donate, but you can go on to springvalleybiblechurch.org and donate, and or see the link to the side here, donate. If you're here, you can drop your donations in the back. Remember that God loves a gracious giver. You are not committed. There is no legalistic stand or view in this church with regards to giving. It's a gracious gift. God gave us everything that we have, and giving back 10%, as John Hintz loves to say, He gave us everything. Giving back 10% seems to be like a good starting point. So, but that is not a legalistic nor a command in the Bible. So, yes, sir.
I want to thank you for your asking for prayers for us. But hey, We've got three great guys to this church coming in, amen, teaching the Word of God better than most preachers are going to get it anywhere. And Kit and Phil and yourself. So please be in prayer for us.
Awesome. Please. Awesome. Yes, please continue to be in prayer for Phil, Kit, and myself as we try to, I wouldn't say fill the shoes. It's not even funny how that's not even in the realm of possibilities. But please be in prayer that the Spirit will give us the strength and the endurance, as well as the words, to be able to stand up here and teach as we anticipate the return of our pastor. So, thank you for that, sir. Yes, sir.
So I know in college, a lot of tests just started this last week or the week before. And I know for a lot of people that can be like a pretty dark time, and they tend to like collapse inward on themselves. And so just like strength for people in school, and that it doesn't become overwhelming. Because I know people have a tendency to look to themselves for strength, and it doesn't always go over very well. And then awesome. I also have a prayer of thanks. It was just like, I was just thinking about it and thinking about our country and like whatever happens in November, whether it's red or blue or whatever it is, like we know who's in control. And November is going to be a mess, but like just thanks that God's in control and it's not about us. So.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, the throne of grace. What an amazing God you are. We have lots of prayer requests, list after list after list. So many people that need our prayers as we go back home. My prayer here, Father, is that each one of us will take a few of these people on this list and just make it a point to pray for each one of them throughout this week. But Father, we come to you and we thank you for this country. We know that it is a mess, and the more we turn away from you, the more of a mess it will be. But we know, as Ben said, we know that you are in control, and so we praise you and we thank you for that. It's not about us. We pray for those that are hurting today. We pray for those that are in pain with Tish. We ask that you'll just alleviate that pain and help the doctors figure out how to help her. We pray for Debbie and their family and the excruciating pain that I know that they will be going through, the loss of their daughter. And we pray for their peace. We pray for their comfort. Father, that supernatural comfort that only you can provide, we just ask that you rain it down on them and put your arms around them. We pray for Tom Simonson in his fight with cancer. Heal his body if it's your wish. Take him home if it's your wish. But Father, we pray for their family and in this time. We pray for our youth. We pray that they will find the truth and continue to pursue it. We pray for our missionaries that they will take the truth to the world. And Father, we pray for our leaders in this country. As we just ask that you give them the strength to turn back to you and stand firm in the truth, knowing they will become under tremendous persecution and tremendous suffering because of it. But as we speak this morning in 1 Peter 4, it's the endurance of suffering that creates the perseverance of our faith. Thank you, sir, for all that you do for us each day. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so a bunch to cover this morning. And so I wanted to get into context here. We covered the rest of chapter 3 this morning. I know, miraculous. But we got through chapter 3. There's still a few things that maybe at some point I'll come back and dig into a little deeper. So, Phil, thank you for the guidance on the victorious proclamation. We'll take that up at another time. But what we talked about this morning in the context of this entire epistle is we're chosen to a new birth, and we're challenged to new behaviors because of that new birth. And those new behaviors start as our behavior to the world, right? How we conduct ourselves as a witness, as citizens, and as slaves in this world. And how do we conduct ourselves in the family? We talked about last week the different institutions, the divine institutions of volition, of the marriage, the divine institution of the family and of the nation. And when we start to tear those things apart, then you're going to see the destruction of the nation. And that's one of the things that we need to be aware of today in the church and outside of the church, because the divine institutions are for the blessing of not only believers but unbelievers as well. It's God's design for the way the world should run. there's no question that there's a, no reason. I mean, there's a definite reason that we don't seem to want to follow it, is because it's what God said. We're cautioned to new persecution. And so Peter was talking in verse chapter 3, starting in verse 8, which we finished this morning, chapter 3, caution to new persecutions, right? So Nero is going to come coming after, and he knows what's going on. Peter knows what's happening as the persecution continues to increase on the Christians. And so persecution is coming. How are we supposed to respond? How do we respond to injustice? How do we treat one another as believers? The positives, right? How are we supposed to treat one another as believers in Christ? Sympathetic, lovingly, compassionate, with kindness, with grace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, as we endure these sufferings, we should be supporting each other in the body of Christ. Avoid the negatives. Don't repay each other with evil insults, or insult for insult, or evil for evil, but pray for one another. This is the God's will, and it will result in our blessing. Even under severe suffering, when we're praying for other believers and we're filled with the Spirit and our focus is on the grace that was given to us through Jesus Christ, then we're going to be blessed for it, in time and eternity. How cool is that? All we got to do is pray. He says, hey, I want you to pray. Just talk to me. What do we want to do when everything's going bad? We ought to be wanting to pray. And He blesses us for it. I love our God. When we're in God's will, who will harm us? So when we're standing in God's will, even under persecution, who can really harm us? This is a spiritual battle. This is a battle that we as individual believers are dealing with. Physically, we may come under persecution, but spiritually, we have the opportunity to stand firm in what we believe, and we will be blessed. And God gives us that peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's right there up on the wall, right? Joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be filled with the Spirit, and you're going to have joy, even in the midst of persecution. That's something worth, you know, not worrying about when all this craziness is coming in November. It's God's will. It's His permissive will to allow these things to happen. Who can harm us when we are devoted to what is good? What is good? Anything done through the power of the Spirit. Suffering for righteousness, undeserved suffering, which results in blessing. Be ready to give a defense. So when we're standing there in the midst of the suffering, we're standing there in the loss of a child, and we're standing there in the midst of a business has gone collapse, and we're standing there looking at people with full of joy and goodness and kindness in our hearts because we're filled with the Spirit and we've put all these things on Him. Wow, what a witness. But now we're standing there and we don't know anything about the Word of God. Maybe we ought to spend a little time understanding the Word of God, and we can turn around and give that witness and be prepared to give a defense of what we believe and who we are in Christ. How cool would that be when the world is falling apart and we're standing there proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ? Restore people in gentleness. Our believers, restore in gentleness. Unbelievers, restore to Christ. That is as gentle as it gets. And as beautiful as it gets when they're restored to Christ. Because the flip side, which we talked about, is the wrath of God, which is coming. We talked about this morning, keep a clear conscience, and the example given is Christ. Christ is our example. As we grapple with our endurance of faith, we should look to the example of Christ. The totally righteous man paid the price for our unrighteousness, right? Keep a clear conscience. Stay focused on the power of the Spirit. He was put to death for His unjust accusations. Can it happen to us? Yeah, absolutely it can happen to us. Maybe we get put to death, but we stay focused on the same power that He had in Him that we have in us, the power of the Spirit of God. An example from the Old Testament was given in standing firm and being faithful as Noah continued to proclaim the gospel and continued to proclaim the faith in the Lord as he's building an ark for 120 years. 8 people got on board. Woohoo! Let's not count numbers, people. 8 people got on board, but he was faithful, and he continued to teach. And the example that is the ark of the type of Christ, one door to come in, sealed by the Spirit, delivered from destruction. And then we talked about the baptism of the Spirit, the true baptism, the baptism that saves, the baptism of the Spirit, the victory of the resurrection, which is our hope. Jesus is alive. Being in Christ, we will be in a position of glory in heaven. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we talked about in the first chapter, in our new birth, we are positioned in Christ, and we get to celebrate. I mean, we get to be a part of the glory of Christ in His return. Even though for a little while In this throwaway body we might suffer. Christ overcame the evil of this world, and so shall we if we put our faith in Him. All have been subjected to Christ, the demons, the angels, and all creation. At His return, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the name of Jesus. And for that, we ought to all say Amen, because we are in Him. Chapter 4. I told you I was going to move fast this morning, y'all. So that's the summary. Hopefully we all have the flow of the book, and we're in a position now to be able to pick up with chapter 4, which is enduring suffering. And picking up in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, we're going to talk about Christ-like attitude according to the will of the Father. So as we read this, therefore, starting in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding. Because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. For there has already been enough time spent in doing what the Gentiles chose to do, carrying on an unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. Okay, so you need everybody to stop here, take notes on verse 3, and make sure you make your list of don't do any of those things. Kidding, please don't do that. It's not the point. It is the point, but it's not the point, right? It's in the Word, so it's true. But it's not a list of, hey, don't go get drunk. Don't. But that's not the means of salvation. That's not the means of putting ourselves into a position of enduring the suffering. So if we read verse 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's will. Verses 1 and 2, Christ endured suffering at the will of the Father and was able not to sin, both, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Arm yourself with the same purpose, courage, and resolve. The purpose, His sinless nature suffered in the flesh in submission to the will of the Father. As we prepare ourselves for suffering, that's our focus. That's where we put our minds, right? Our nature, which will want to sin, will suffer in the flesh, but we need to do that because it's the will of the Father. Submit to the will of the Father. As we see the suffering coming, if it's the will of the Father, if it's submissive, it's His permissive will for us to suffer, then accept that. We can find all the reasons not to. We can find all the reasons it's unjust, but that's not the reason. That's not what we're supposed to do. Put aside our corrupt nature, suffer in the flesh in submission to the will of the Father. Are we willing to suffer by setting aside our totally corrupt nature in alignment with being baptized into Christ? That's the question. So these list of things, our bodies want to do these things. Our minds, our natural self want to do these things. When we put these things aside, when we say, hey, we're not going to be participating in unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunken, that's what we want to do. That's our nature. Natural self, carnal self, spiritual self. Our natural self wants to do this. Our carnal self wants to do this. Right? Believers want to do this. Just look at the world. But that's not the point. The point is to set these things aside. In doing those in and of themselves, we will endure suffering. Set aside your sin. We all sin and we will all sin again. The carnal believer is restored to spiritual believer as part of our daily life. It's a minute-by-minute activity, y'all. It's something we need to do every minute of every day, is being evaluating ourselves. Am I in the will of the Father? Am I trusting Him? Or have I succumbed to my own will? You know, even when we're doing good stuff. The example of me running around doing, you know, my dad told me to do the lawn mowing, so I went and did the lawn mowing. I wasn't in his will. I just didn't want to get hammered, right? So, in total defiance, I could still... That's not the point. The point is, am I just willing to trust Him? Trust my Father? That one. Just make sure that I don't think lawn mowing is in the Word here. So, but submitting to authority is, by the way. So the carnal believer restored to spiritual believer is part of our daily life. God gave us a means by which to be restored when we fail. But the intent for every believer should be the obedience that is faith. That should be our intent. The growing up under confession is the means of restoration. man, that was so cool. That was so cool. Because I could go do whatever I want, and at the end, confess. And I'm good. Just confess it. Just confess it, confess it, confess it, and I'm good. Man, I want to talk about a license to sin. But when the fact is that the restoration is when you put yourself back, your faith back into the power of the Spirit, when you put your faith back into the will of God and say, I succumb and submit to your authority, sir, that is not a license to sin. Because, man, that's you humbling yourself before your Lord. That's the means of restoration. So what is this referring to? Is the believer conforming to the world and the pattern of sin that we justify because it is comfortable to our own desires? What are we talking about here? Is set aside your sin, all these things that your desire of your body, of your carnal self want to do, set those things aside and submit to the will of God. We lose our appreciation. This is back to the confession, right? As I was growing up, you start to lose your appreciation for the suffering that Christ endured and the grace provided at the cross when we live our lives in submission to sin. I mean, it doesn't take long before our hearts are hardened to the will of God just because it's like this is so easy. I can just go do, I can do whatever I want, but I can still be saved. I do whatever I want, I can still be saved. We are to live in the will of our Father. Live the will of God, the exciting, powerful, joyful will of God, a perfect, eternal plan for each one of us. It's, you know, you talk to folks, you talk to people who are like, man, that whole Christian thing, it's just a whole bunch of rules, right? It's a whole bunch of don't do these, don't do these, don't do these. When we start to really understand the power of the Spirit and the will of God for our lives and really start going back to the new birth and the new creation and the future inheritance and God isn't a list of don't do's. God is an exciting, powerful, joyful God who has an amazing will for our lives, full of joy, peace, goodness, kindness. Live in His will not to avoid punishment, but in light of who He is and what He has already done for us. Love the refrigerator verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I call it a refrigerator verse because so many people have this one on their refrigerator, and also most of the time take it out of context. But it's a good verse. They're all good. But in this particular case, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. The part that people forget here is, in the context of we're talking about suffering and the endurance of and suffering, is, oh, by the way, the believers that this was given to were in exile in Babylon for 70 years. This is not a prosperity gospel. They endured tremendous suffering. But God knew the plans that He had. And that's what we are called to do, is put our trust in Him. He's got the plans. It's His will. Just stand by and watch. In verse 3, for there has already been enough time spent doing what the Gentiles chose to do, carrying on an unrestrained behavior, evil desires, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and lawless idolatry. It's the second time I've said orgy in Bible class in one day. I don't know if that's blasphemous or not, but it's in the Bible, so we'll stick with that, right? Verse 3, I say that because my boys are sitting over here and I'm sure snickered at some point when I said orgy the second time. So. Verse 3, justification for the call to sinlessness. Haven't we had enough time as a non-believer to live the worldly life, to suffer for our sins instead of suffering for Christ? Whether you've been here for 15 minutes or you've been here for 50 years, isn't that enough time to suffer for sins as opposed to suffering for Christ? Haven't we had enough time to do that? Yeah, I'll get around to doing that Christian thing when I get a little older. It's for old people. It is kind of funny that as the older I get, the more I just, it's too painful to suffer for sins. It just hurts too much. So why not suffer for Christ? It's the will of the Father. A little irreverent, sorry, but I'm thinking of my brother-in-law as I say that, because... Side note. He's not irreverent. He kind of questions sometimes the irreverence from the pulpit. But anyway, verse 3. Christ was willing to bear the sins of all in light of this. Christ was willing to bear the sins of all. So in light of this, we should suffer the flesh nature and put aside our sin. This is not a legalistic command done in our own power, but putting aside the desires of the flesh in knowing our faith, that what God has for us is infinitely better than what our flesh desires. If we just go through the motions of not doing a certain list of things, are we really in the will of God? Are we really submitting to His authority? We are obeying, and it's good. You should avoid those things. But how much more rewarding is it to live our life and put aside and suffer suffer for Christ in recognizing that it is our Father's will? It's a totally different relationship. There's a lot of churches that teach, here's your list of things. Don't go do these things, and you're good. What a miss that is to the overall relationship that we have with our Father and overall relationship that we have with our Savior. As a believer, there's no excuse for acting in the same manner as unbelievers. And doing these things is the same. I mean, it's the whole postmodern relativism. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, why can't I do it? That's not the point. Because God said don't. So don't. That's the point. He knows best. So picking up at verse 4, they are surprised that you don't join them in the same flood of wild living, and they slander you. They will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that, although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the spirit according to God's standards. So in verse 4, when you turn away from the pattern of the world, you will be an outcast, maligned, judged, and other persecuted by the world. So this is the moment to evaluate ourselves. Does the unbelieving world accept you as one of their own, or are you an outcast? Because when we're conforming to the will of God, the world will outcast us. If everything in our lives today is totally honky-dory, and man, I fit in with everybody, and everything I do is I'm like the cool, I slide in, everybody, it's all good. We probably need to take a moment to evaluate, are we really living the will of God? Are we standing firm in the truth? Because when the light is shined into the darkness, the world doesn't like it. So a warning, even those that are the recipients of the love, generosity, and kindness from our changing to being submissive to the will of God, they will persecute you because the spiritual cannot be discerned by the carnal or natural man. Think about that for a minute. Have y'all ever helped a believer or an unbeliever because, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be and I'm supposed, and you've gone out of your way to help somebody and man, will they turn on you? The people that we help the most and support the most, if they're not living in the will of God, they're gonna turn on you. Be prepared for that. That's part of it. That doesn't mean don't go do it, right? That's not an excuse to not go help. I mean, it's not an excuse to avoid helping people, but they will turn on you. In verse 5, they will give an account. All will be evaluated by the righteous judge. When we remember that Christ was judged for our sins, when we realize we were condemned to eternal damnation, when we realize that by the incredible grace of the righteous judge that we are saved, then we should not condemn ourselves with the judgment of others. God, they have to give an account to God. Our job isn't to go out there and hold everybody accountable for the things that they're doing against God. Our job is to go out there and be accountable to God for the things that we are doing in Him. through him. So we've got to be very careful about judging others. But we will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, positionally in Christ, and we will be evaluated for the good works done through the Spirit. And I know Herman has done a lot of teaching on this. It's the things that we do in the power of the Spirit, the good works, that we will be judged for as believers. And we will be rewarded for. How horrible is it to go through our entire life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and not spend 1 minute in the power of the Spirit, not doing it because we're conforming to the world, we're doing the things that the world want, and when the judgment seat rolls around, we look up and go, man, I missed it. We're still saved. We're still saved. But think of the rewards that can be piled up by believing and trusting the Spirit of God and the good works that are done. Now, I've had conversations with regards to, you know, but is it really about the rewards? Well, we trust Christ, and it really is about the salvation. Right? Why do we trust Christ? It really is about the salvation. Why do we want the rewards? The salvation? Why do we want the rewards? Or why do we do the things we do in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because we get the rewards. And our relationship is pleasing our Father. So it's both. So, we as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and our good works will be evaluated and rewarded. Those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior will stand before the great white throne judgment and be evaluated for their position not in Christ. Man, how'd you like to have that label to put on you for the rest of eternity? Not in Christ. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want that for anybody. Verse 6, I know I'm moving fast, y'all. There's a whole bunch more that could be delved into, but I'm trying to keep the flow of the epistle here. In verse 6, we're talking about, it says, "For this reason the gospel was also preached to those who are now dead, so that although they might be judged in the flesh according to human standards, they might live in the Spirit according to God's standards." So focus on the gospel of Christ, the grace that was provided us, the suffering taken by Christ. The gospel was given to us to save us from eternal death. How can we worry about the judgment of the world when Jesus took the judgment of the Father for us? We care about the world and what they think. Jesus Christ cared about what his Father thinks, and he took the judgment for us. So live according to the new creature and your position in Christ. Evaluate yourself constantly. Are you a spiritual creature living in the will of God or a carnal creature living in your own will? Continuously evaluate yourself from the standpoint of, am I living in the will of God through the filling of the Spirit? Because that's where the rewards will come from. That's how we are commanded to live. All right, picking up at verse 7 through 11. The warning and encouragement of the church as persecution increases. This is Christ-like service. So the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others, as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Lots here. The warning and encouragement of the church as persecution increases. Christ-like service. The end is near. In context, Peter is speaking that this is not just referring to the end times, although it can be looked at the end times, or the rapture. This is more specific to the suffering that is coming to these specific Jews. I mean, these specific believers. They are being persecuted by Nero. It's a great example for the persecution that is coming for us as well. The end, death. The destruction of the church as they know it. This is the things that can be coming their direction. The death, there's death, there's destruction of the church, there's the disbanding of their communities under Nero, the destruction of their country or of our country. These things are, this persecution is relevant to any age as the end times approach. But do not fear. It is the end of persecution. It is the end of the believer's suffering when the end times do arrive. You were talking, you said something about, you know, the people who are ready for the rapture, to the non-believers who are ready for the rapture to occur, so that we get all these Christians out of here. Man, if they only understood what they were saying. Because, I mean, that's kind of the approach, right? Get these Christians out of here. Persecute you. Get them. Take care of their stuff, right? They're just in the way. They're calling us out for being wrong. They're doing all that. And it's the world. And they're looking forward to the... I mean, that is, to me, the absolute epitome of just moronic. But think about the fact you're standing there and the rapture occurs and all the Christians are gone. At that moment, do you think for a second you might evaluate the fact that maybe there is a God? Maybe I should have gone with him? But we know that in the tribulation, they won't, because they won't turn to Christ. They won't turn to God. They'll turn to their idols. They'll turn to each other. But it's just, it blows my mind sometimes. That wasn't in my notes. But anyway, that one caught me by surprise. I'm like, I've never heard anybody say that, but wow. Do not fear the end times. It's the end of, for us, the end times is the end of persecution. It's the end of suffering, right? At the end times, all those that hit the reach the rapture, don't be afraid of what's coming. God has a plan for every one of us. And we, and up until the time whether we're killed, whether everything around us is destroyed, the end times, Christ is coming back. And He is going to return in all His glory. And when He does, all the persecution, all the suffering for us as believers that are brought up with Him is over. It's done. Don't be afraid of the end, because it's not the end, it's the beginning. Be ready. Be prepared. In the preparation of the Passover, it was said to, we were talking about this with the young people the other day, in the preparation for the Exodus, and the Passover meal was coming. The Passover was getting ready to happen, and part of what caught some of our attention when we were teaching this is it said, be dressed and prepared to go now. Right? Not, hey, when it happens, you know, put the blood on. There's a whole lot more to it. But this particular thing stood out to me is everywhere where God says be prepared, He means be prepared now, at a moment's notice. In the Passover, they were to be prepared with all of their things ready to go when God said go. Right? That's us. I mean, if you look at Joseph and Mary, when they were, when Herod was coming to kill all the children, he said, go to Egypt. He left immediately. He took his family and Christ, and they left immediately. It wasn't, oh, well, let me pack up my stuff. Let me get all the things ready. Let me get prepared. I got to get a bigger trailer because my stuff needs to go with me, right? My mixture, turn the air conditioner. No. He says, go. And this is where we need to be prepared for the end times. That's what he says to do. Be prepared. The end times will come like a thief in the night, and we need to be prepared. Mentally prepared. We need to be spiritually prepared. We need to be living in the Spirit and watching what's happening. This is the persecution that's coming in this particular instance, but it's the end times as well. Be prepared for whatever God asks us to do, and don't live your timeline, live His timeline. Are we ready for the return of Christ at all times? That's the ultimate question is, are we ready for the return of Christ at any moment, at this very moment, tomorrow at work, the next day at the office, are we ready when Christ comes? Are we ready to go right now? We will go right now, by the way. Ready or not, so to speak, as the kids used to say, or we used to say, ready or not, here we come. Sound judgment. Know the truth and base your decisions on the truth of the Word. Casual understanding of the word milk will guide us in life. And there are great stuff that will come from the casual understanding of the Word of God. It's important. You got to start somewhere, right? But the depth of understanding of the truth of Christ, preparing our minds for action, the depth of the understanding of the truth of Christ, our cornerstone, the Word, the truth will gird us for battle in the angelic conflict, the meat. Right? We've got to continue to pursue the Word. We've got to continue to pursue the Word, not for the knowledge of doctrine, but for the ability to be prepared when Christ comes or in the battle. Why do we study the Word of God, this old antiquated thing that's been around since, like, you know, Jesus? Why do we study it? It's not so we know more stuff. There's a lot of people who know a whole lot more about the Bible. Academics that teach religious studies in colleges all over the United States. They know a whole bunch about this stuff, right? All over the world. But that's not the point. It's not about the knowledge of doctrine. It's about the knowledge of the will of God for our lives and taking these things and turning it into our ability to know the truth and to trust it. And that's what we are called to do. The depth of the understanding of Christ, of the truth of Christ, our cornerstone, the Word of God, the truth will gird us in the battle in the angelic conflict. So put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, we won't turn there right now. Prepare your minds for action. Pray constantly. Be disciplined in prayer. This is a tough one for a lot of people. It's a tough one for a long time. It's being disciplined in prayer. Right? God says pray constantly. But there's discipline to prayer. There's prayer preparation. There's prayer pursuit. Pat was telling me, you know, at some point in time she started praying for somebody because she said, I'm going to pray for that person. And now, 25 years later, she still has an obligation, feels a spiritual obligation and a prayer obligation to that person. And how amazing is that, that 25 years or however long it's been, that you're consistent, constant, faithful prayers for an individual and watch the things that happen in their lives because of your prayers. That's a blessing to every single one of us. Pray constantly. Be disciplined in our prayers. Love one another in verse 8. Make sure I'm covering this. Love one another. When the pressure is on, hate, anger, fear, mental attitude, sins pour out of us. It's our natural self. That's the general nature of every one of us is when the pressure's on, we look at our worst. Right? Even sometimes when we do heroic things, most of the time, those are the times when the anger, the fear, the mental attitude, sins pour out of us. This is our human nature. But it says to love one another. When you see a believer that's in persecution, love them. When you see a believer that's suffering, whether it's for discipline or whether it's for blessing, whether it's because they're in the will of God or because they've messed everything up, it's a believer. It's our family. Pray for them, love them, encourage them, gently restore them. That's what we're called to do. Not hammer them and turn them into mush, right? Or push them away. Love one another. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in this love suppresses the old sin nature and covers these mental attitude sins. Stay in the fruit of the Spirit and love one another. And these mental attitude sins of hate, anger, fear, they go away. Put our trust in the Holy Spirit. As Herman likes to say, nip it in the bud. Right? When you start to hear spewing venom out of your mouth, you need to, we all know, and not just you, all of us, when we see that the fruit of the Spirit is not what's coming out of our mouth, it's not what's coming out of our actions in service to one another, then nip it in the bud. Evaluate yourself. Understand where the break is. And restore yourself through faith to the power of the Spirit. Then those things come pouring out of us. I keep pointing to the list of fruit of the Spirit for y'all that are online. Those things will start pouring out of us. Be hospitable in verse 9. Be hospitable to each other. Take care of each other without complaint. Meet together. Come together. Hospitality kind of assumes that we get together once in a while. Come join us. Come be a part. Come do communion. Come fellowship. Right? Do those things. Don't let the government tell us we can't when the Word of God says we shall. Ask about each other. Care for each other. Help each other. We are a church family. Be hospitable. And the other part of that is ask for help. That's probably the biggest thing I think. As a believer, I'm a mature believer. I can handle all this stuff. I don't need to ask my congregation. I don't need to ask my family for help. Bummer. That's kind of an arrogant position, isn't it? God says for us to be hospitable, but if nobody ever lets us know that there's an issue that we need to be hospitable and caring and loving for, shame on us. Bring our concerns, bring our issues to our family. We are a family. And don't feel like because I'm bringing something that I need help with to my family that I failed, that I don't trust God. God says do it. If he didn't want us to do it, he wouldn't have said to do it. On that note, we all have spiritual gifts. We talked about this last week, right? With regards to Julie and Brian handling all of the music stuff and the technology stuff and the gifts of just service with Anel and taking care of this place. And I'm just looking at everybody has a spiritual gift. We all have spiritual gifts. Maybe some of those are encouragement. Maybe that one of those is the ability to pray constantly. Every time I get done teaching here, I get a note from Phyllis in Florida. It's a note of encouragement. It's a note of prayer. It's a note of questioning what the heck I was talking about. But that's a whole other conversation. I know she's watching. Or she'll be listening in a minute. I'll hear about that this afternoon. But it's all kinds of... I mean, we as a family, we need to help each other. We need to ask for help. We need to encourage each other. Maybe it's a gift of organization. Maybe you can help us figure out the... You know, maybe it's finances. Maybe you just got a lot of money. All right? God provides all things. It may still be in your pocket. Maybe it's the gift of teaching. Who knows what it is? That's between you and God. Maybe you don't. This is one I love. I love talking about this with the kids. What if I don't like my spiritual gift? Anybody ever had that one? I'm not into this prayer thing. God, I want the spiritual gift of being like a televangelist. I make a lot more money that way. What if you don't like it? You take that up with God. Because He's the perfect sovereign God. He gives us every one of these gifts. But use these gifts in support of the body of believers. That's why we're given these gifts, is we support each other. If you've got a gift, don't hide it. That's a lot of work. Well, there's a lot of work for Christ to go on the cross and die for us. But He did it anyway. God gave us these gifts through His grace for our church, the church body, the body of Christ. The sovereign will of God. So picking up in 4 verse 11, whoever communicates or speaks publicly during the times of disaster, if you're going to put yourself out there and speak publicly, let him make sure we're communicating God's word. Make sure we're communicating the gospel while we're out there doing these things. If our cause is social justice, make sure that social justice starts with the only place we'll ever have justice is in Christ. And honestly, that's mercy and grace, not justice. If you're going to be a spokesperson, start with speaking for Christ. If anyone serves, exercises their spiritual gift during these times of suffering and disaster, let them serve out of the power of the Spirit which God supplies, so that in all things God may be continually glorified through Jesus Christ. That's our focus. The focus is on God and not ourselves, in whom keeps on residing the glory and the sovereign power into the ages, all future times, forever and ever and ever. So relating this to what we spoke about last week regarding our causes, our cause is Christ. The point of a Christian being involved with a cause in this world is to further the spreading of the gospel. The point of serving others is to glorify God through the power of the Spirit and the furthering of the gospel. Sometimes we get lost in our own causes. Sometimes we get lost in conforming to the causes of the world. The cause is Christ. Because the fact is, as unjust as society is, think about the total, complete justice of our God on the unbeliever. They think it's rough being unjust in society. Wait till that happens. He's not unjust, but the wrath is rough. Okay, I've got a couple more minutes I want to get to here, and then I want to do verses 12 through 16 real quick. I'm not going to cover a lot, but there's one thing I want to end on, and then we'll pick up from there. So verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the suffering of Christ, so that you may also rejoice with great joy when His glory is revealed. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God? So verse 12, don't be surprised by the persecution. We know it's coming. Jesus said, there will be trials and tribulations, right? So we know it's going to happen, and we know we're not victims. So two things, we know it's coming, and we know we're not a victim. So don't be surprised. It is the testing of our faith. It is required to grow in our faith to maturity. But be prepared. Don't be surprised. Don't be a victim. Be prepared. That's what they're saying. That's what God's saying right here. Peter's saying, we know it's coming. We know we're not victims. Be prepared. Spiritually prepared. In verse 13, the suffering is designed for the glory of God and our blessing. Rejoice in the persecution and suffering as a witness of our hope, who is Jesus Christ. Back to being prepared. When people are watching us suffer and be persecuted, and our response is the fruit of the Spirit, they want to know what we have. They either want to know what we're on or what we have. One of the two. Stay filled with the Spirit and display the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and love, peace, kindness, goodness. Fellowship with Christ in His suffering. Look back to the cross. Recognize the price that was paid for us. We will be glorified with Christ. The Spirit Himself, in verse Romans 8, 16 through 17, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. We will be reigning with Christ at His revelation, 2 Timothy 2, 12. The suffering is designed for our blessing. Looking forward, that is what this is all about. Suffering for blessing. Verse 14, if we are persecuted, shut down, or censored because we proclaim the name of Christ, then consider yourself blessed. When we're out there declaring and standing firm in the name of Christ, filled with the Spirit, and we're persecuted, we ought to consider ourselves blessed. We're standing there with our Savior proclaiming Him to the world, and we know the world's going to hate it. So when they hate it, why should we be surprised? We ought to feel like, man, we are totally blessed. As long as it's done in the filling of the Spirit, we are in fellowship with Christ. Verse 15, warning. Don't suffer as murderers, thieves, evildoers, or meddlers. Interesting that murderers and meddlers are in the same category. Just pointing that out. Don't be a meddler. Or a murderer. Don't suffer because you have succumbed to the pride of the flesh, but suffer in the power of the Spirit. If we're going to get hammered, let's get hammered for Him, not hammered for discipline. Verse 16, if you suffer as a follower of Christ, don't be ashamed. If you lose your job, don't be ashamed. If you lose your job because you are suffering for Christ. If you're kicked out of school or you get a bad grade because you're standing firm in what you believe, don't be ashamed. If you're persecuted as a criminal because of what you believe, don't be ashamed. Stand firm in the power of the Spirit. Don't whine about our circumstances. Don't play the victim card. Proclaim the name of Christ. Today's environment, everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim. Christ was the victim. He was the only one that was totally righteous and totally unjust in receiving the crucifixion. He's the only one that can proclaim that He was a victim. But the fact of the matter is, He didn't. He stood firm, and He did the will of His Father. What would it look like in this crazy, mixed-up, self-focused world if the church, the whole, full body of Christ, the spiritual nation, as we talked about, was to stand up together and proclaim Christ. Not all the things we are against in the world, not for worldly justice, not out of hate for something, but we proclaim His name above all names, above all else, out of the love for our Savior. We as a church, as the body of Christ, have no excuse to be considered a victim, consider ourselves a victim. We don't run around and spew hate. We don't run around and tear each other down. How amazing would it be if the full body of Christ was to stand up and proclaim the name of Christ to the world? That would be a pretty awesome day. That would be a protest I would be willing to be involved with. That would be amazing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. We thank You that we were able to cover so much of Your Word. Man, there's years and years of teaching here, Father, but thank You for making it clear the message that You wanted me to portray today. I pray that anything that I spoke incorrectly or out of context, Father, that You will clear it up in the minds and the souls of each one that are here, and that the things that we talked about this morning, and that You will take those things in each one of us and help us to prepare our minds for action, help us be motivated to stay in Your will and trust that You've got it all under control. And when we have the opportunity to speak to the world, Father, that we proclaim Your Son, that we proclaim the name of Jesus in all the things that we do. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your Son and what He did for us. We thank You for Your Spirit and the power that it gives us to take another step forward each day. In Christ's name, amen.